Check, 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 check. Woo! Got through that one. Well, I'm excited because, I'm just excited. But it says to come through his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. So let's give the Lord one big hand for what he's already done here tonight. Brian, if you could put the Real Awakening. We read this together, and so if you just read it with me. I am here to radically change my world by more clearly understanding who I am in the eyes of my Savior.
You're fine. Let me do it.
Are we good now?
Yeah.
I want to pray first. God, we thank you for everything you've done here tonight. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that we can come into your house and worship you with all our hearts.
Yes.
God, we pray that there be an open heaven over this sanctuary,
yes,
that your
Jesus.
Spirit manifest yourself in this house. God, give us the words to say. Let it be your words, not ours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, in the first session, we talked about from sinners to saints. And in the second session, we talked about gospel of the kingdom. I got to stand.
I feel like I'm too silly to sit in this. But, okay, go ahead, sorry.
Tonight, we're going to discuss kingdom identity. And it's so important, but let's define identity first. Identity is who you are. It's not what you do, where you're from, or your cultural background. Your identity has to be founded in the reality of who God says you are.
Amen.
And with that, it's our nature to search out for our identity. When we're children, our identity is through our parents. But as we begin to grow and mature, we start searching for our own identity. And this is why you see so many identity changes, you know, in some people, you know, they're searching.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens in the spirit manifests itself in the natural. That's important to understand. What happens in the spirit manifests itself in the natural. This is important to do is to know your identity in the kingdom and be grounded in it. You need to declare it over your children and your family, who they are in Christ.
Yeah.
You need to pray a prophetic declaration over your children, a spoken word where it's a seed that goes into their heart and begins to grow.
Yes.
It says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way they should go, that they shall not depart from it when they're old. This is why it's one of Satan's greatest attacks. He tries to cast doubt and unbelief on your identity. If he could have your identity lost, if you're searching for your identity, you're weaponless and defenseless to him. And don't think that you're the only one. It says in Matthew 4:3. I'm going to go ahead and read that. If you could put that up, Brian, on such short notice. Matthew 4, verse 3. It says, and the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up you in their hands so you will not strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered him and said, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. There's going to be quite a bit of scripture in this teaching tonight, but just as Jesus used the word of God to fight Satan, it's your same sword.
Yeah.
You need to be grounded on the scripture because that's how you fight the devil. First, you are sons and daughters. John 1:12-13. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Salvation opens the door for us to become children of God. As his children, well, just like our children. Our children are designed to naturally trust that we're going to provide for them. Mm-hmm. It's not a question in their mind. They know that we're going to provide safety, shelter, and love to them. They go throughout their life knowing that we're going to give them our utmost affection and love. How much more does God delight over us every day and throughout the day? How much more can we depend on him to take care of all of our needs?
Right.
Luke 11, 9 through 13. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how much to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? The house of God is abundant, lacking in nothing. Children have full access into their parents' house. We as children of God, have full access into our Father's house. God didn't just save us from sin. He created a way for us to come back into relationship with him as our good Father. You are children of God. Second, you're the bride of Christ. Now, when we first got into this teaching, I seen Bride of Christ and naturally said, Natalie, that's yours. let's say, you're the bride. But I begin to wrestle with it. And whenever you start questioning, you get real quiet and you listen. Because God said, I want you to talk about the Bride of Christ. I want your perspective on the Bride of Christ through the groom's eyes. And so that's what you're going to get tonight. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing her with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. There is an intimate, vulnerable, pure, pursuing relationship that Christ seeks with us, his church. He gave himself for his bride to display the sacrifice of what love looks like. He declares a pure and spotless bride that is completely devoted to him. Relationship is about choice. That's what gives it depth. That's what gives it love. It's about choice. Whenever I pursued Natalie, it was her choice to choose me. Nobody made that decision for her. Nobody chose for her. It was her choice to choose me.
There's a little influence.
Maybe, just a little. True, I can't lie. God created woman from Adam. He took a rib and fashioned a woman. The perfect counterpart for Adam was made from his body. The church is perfectly suited, perfectly gifted, perfectly designed, perfectly gifted, and called and fashioned for Christ.
That's right.
Made from his sacrifice, he made for us as the perfect bride. And by choice, we devote ourselves, the church, to him. God is raising up a bride for his son. This has always been the plan of the church, to be a radiant bride who co-labors with heaven and sees the kingdom come. You are the bride of Christ. Number three, you're priests and kings. It's something to get excited about, isn't it? Revelations 5:10. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. As priests, we carry the Spirit of God. We host the presence of God. Mm-hmm. In the Old Testament, the priests were the only one to go in the Holy of Holies. They were the only ones to experience the kingdom of God and its fullness. But when God tore the veil, he made it available for each believer to have the full presence of God, to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God in you shapes the world around you.
Right.
When you walk into a situation, the Spirit of God in you dictates the situation and circumstance. Thank you so much. I was struggling. We carry him with us wherever we go. God's presence is not limited to the church or service. It resides in and on every believer, so that everywhere a believer goes, God's presence reigns in that place. You are kings. Revelation 1:5-6. And Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of kings of the earth, to him who loves us and who has freed us of all our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom, priests to serve God and the Father, to him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. We are royalty and we reign with him. We are co-laborers of the authority and the power. Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age." 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, "For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." The Son of God came to earth as a man, and he was crucified on a cross so we could live as kings in the kingdom. As priests and kings, you carry the authority and the power of your kingdom. It is a position where you reign with him, and that is to serve. It's not a position of domination, but it is coming under and empowering the people who you have influence over to their full potential in the kingdom. The Spirit of God in you shapes the world around you. It changes the atmosphere of your environment. It changes the dynamic of your situations. Mm-hmm. Our identity as saints is to carry the gospel and the authority of the kingdom with us. You are children of God. You are the bride of Christ. You are priests and kings. When Jesus came to earth, he revealed the Father. The Father gives identity, purpose, and an awareness of unending resources.
Yeah.
He provides every need. Mm-hmm. All you do is you partner. Your prayer, coupled with faith, is a divine prophetic word that carries the authority of the kingdom with it.
Right.
John 13:3-4. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around him. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things in his power. We must know that our identity and authority of what the Father has given us. Jesus knew that he had come from God to live out where we have come from and our Father is. Jesus knew he was returning to God. Our confidence comes from knowing our destiny and our eternity is secure. Jesus performed the greatest act of humility by serving. When we know who we are, whose we are, and where we are going, we can serve out of that place and live like Jesus did on the earth.
Right.
As we transition into the second part of this teaching, we want to renounce the lies of the enemy and declare the truth over our lives. Yeah. Brian, if you're ready. As we read these lies, let's declare the truth over our lives. Lie number one. When I mess up, I lose my identity as a new creation. Truth, I am a new creation. Even in my weakest moment, I am still a new creation, infused with the power of grace to overcome. The seed of God is inside of me to live righteous. Line number two, I am only able to access heaven on my best days. They won't let me in when I'm not spiritual enough. Truth, I am an ambassador and a citizen of heaven. I can access heaven at any time and anywhere. Yeah. Lie three, God only loves me when I'm doing good. Truth, I am passionately loved and pursued by God because he loves me. No amount of works, good or bad, can change the way he pursues me. The cross was enough to save me, but not enough to free me. Truth. I am created to live free by the cross, blood, and His grace. I have the ability to forever walk in freedom.
Yeah. 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 Okay.
I have to really work really hard and be perfect to be righteous. Truth. I am made righteous because of the cross of Christ. Amen.
I gotta clean this up. Hold on, my OCD is just freaking out right now. Hey, Izzy. All right. Before we move on to the second part of this teaching, one thing that had been mentioned is I don't really know if a lot of people even understand how Awaken became to be, and part of that is because we don't either. The Holy Spirit just started drawing people as hunger rose. He's just amazing how he groups people together. And so before we start, one thing the Lord really put on my heart to share is we are completely different group of people. We aren't similar. We don't have the same style, taste, hobbies. We're totally different. And the Lord just gave a beautiful vision of how the church is and why that's so important. Because we would meet. Now, I grew up in church, so I've sat in board meetings and all these things before. We would meet and have hard conversations, things that most people wouldn't be able to say to each other and survive. Like, I love you and I'm for you, but I don't know that this is the direction that we need to go, or this is the thing that I feel the Holy Spirit telling me. And the Lord taught us all about honoring the gifts that are within. Because the thing is, those people were actually right. Although it didn't feel good and it challenged, maybe we were passion, but where was the excellence? We had, you know, let's just drive through and do this, but where was the waiting on the voice of God? That balance and that willingness to accept correction from each other only cultivated love, and it actually, the honor given there made the gifts of God flow. And so the only thing I want to say about that is we're to mirror that. The Lord is teaching us, but I hope that as a body, we can spur each other on in correction and love and honor those gifts and understand that it's the protection of God to strive us to excellence so we're ready to reap a harvest. So I just want to share that testimony before I got started. We are dead to sin and alive in Christ. We no longer desire sin, and our desires have changed to be bent towards good. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here." What that means is we activate the power of grace in our lives to live righteously. Romans 5:15 through 17 talks about that, and what it's actually saying is you are made new. That's body, soul, spirit, and the old man is gone. I think often we talk about the struggle between the old man, but he isn't there anymore. We're prone to righteousness. We aren't prone to sin anymore. That's why as you're working out your salvation, you can feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit. It's just a ping like, "Hey, Nat, don't go that way. Don't do this thing." And it's just a sweet correction. It's the love of God. And you actually kind of have to work against that because you're a new creation in Christ. Sanctification is a process, though. Hebrews 12:11, and I seriously have to hang on to this. "No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." Amen. 2 Peter says that we actually have received a divine nature, but it doesn't mean that temptation is no longer present. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way. And I got to thinking about that. You know, often we just kind of place on Jesus what our temptation is and accept that that was something he had to overcome. But every single temptation means every single temptation. The weight of that, the Father had to experience. And I think that this is so vital why we have to take our thoughts captive.
Amen.
You need to know. I mean, who's speaking to you? Who's running things? It ought to be the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And if it's a voice that doesn't match up with your good Father, then you need to shut that down.
Amen.
You've got to recognize the heed of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and that kind of helps you put a rein on things because God has equipped you.
Amen.
This one I am so thankful for. We are cleansed from our past and made new. 1 John 1:9 says, "If we acknowledge our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from every wrongdoing." This is something that is so difficult to be accepted. And I'm so thankful because I've really teetered a lot with this in my life, but the Lord so sweetly spoke to me once as I was like, "God, I just, you know, remember who this and remember who I was." And I had a vision of the Lord, and it was the most tender thing, and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "You know, Nat, I'm sorry for all of those things, whether they were choices that you made or were done unto you, but it's time to move on."
Amen.
I love you, but it's time to move on. The Holy Spirit brings conviction, but he does not bring condemnation. I want to tell you what the difference is there. Condemnation has the goal of discarding. Right. When houses are condemned, they are no longer resurrected. It's an overdone deal thing. But conviction is actually teaching in nature because it's a correction with the purpose of sending out, not sitting down.
Amen.
And so when we're corrected and as we're working this out, if there's hiccups along the way, just accept the mercy of the Lord and accept what he's teaching you and move forward. We're destined to be an overcomer. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Victory is ours in every situation. Situations do not change that. Whether you're a new Christian and you're grappling with the things that are to be overcome, or if you're just in a season of warfare, that happens. There are times when it seems like everything is a struggle. But I will tell you this, that is something I can speak to. That's something that everybody in our group can speak to, and probably half of this church. I remember talking to my father-in-law and being like, why is this so hard? You know, why God? And then I do that sometimes. But the Lord talked to me once again and was like, do not despise the difficult seasons. You need to wake up to the reality that I'm an overcomer. And in order to do that, you have to have something to overcome. Like, how do we know His glory? How do we know the fullness of walking in victory? How do we know the weapons of our warfare if we're constantly in a babified state? It's not His will. It's a stretching process. And the Word of God says that that breeds perseverance. And it's so necessary. If you never pick up a weapon, how do you know how to fight? How do we learn? The Lord is not cruel, and He is not weak. But to know His strength, we have to depend on it. We are citizens of heaven. We become citizens. We have the ability to enter heaven at any moment because we are rightful citizens. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our salvation, or our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That means that we are ambassadors of heaven. And I was talking to Pastor Cindy Reich about this, and I actually call this the Reich principle. Here's why. An ambassador was a Roman term to describe someone who would take the culture and rule of Rome and go into conquered territory and make that territory look like Rome. Our job as ambassadors is to influence the cities and nations of the world to look like heaven. I don't know if you were here for worship tonight, but one thing that I so honor, and I have honored this, I've known Pastor Kevin and Cindy since I was 15 years old, and Hannah and Keaton have that instilled in them. They take over the atmosphere. Yes. They are not a prisoner of anybody's actions in the room. They possess the spirit of worship. And whenever you're around them, you're going to feel the spirit of worship. They're going to prod you. They're going to teach you. They're going to pull that out of you because it's who they are. And so they go into any spot that they are, and worship takes place. And I just honor that in you. So my question is this: what does your area of influence look like? Like, God's given you authority there. What does your home look like? What, I can tell you what mine looks like when I step on a Lego, you know? What does your school look like? What does your place of work look like? God's calling you to change that. We need to put on the armor of God and press on and shake hell. Like, it's time to go. We were slaves that are now free. Galatians 5:1 says, "Christ died for us to live free. He wants us to live free more than we want to live free." The blood of Jesus cleanses us from acts that lead to death, and grace empowers us to live as God called us to live. Here's the thing. I don't want to talk too much here, but I love the story of the woman caught in adultery here. I mean, can you imagine what that was like? Here she is caught in the actual act, and she's supposed to be shamed and crucified. And God says, nope, there's not going to be condemnation here. There's going to be the conviction. There's going to be the learning. And I'm going to set you up. I'm going to protect you from a devastating future. I'm going to change your life, and then I'm going to empower you, and you're going to change the world. See all that? That's a picture of Jesus, what He did for her. Just unbelievable. The Spirit brings freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. That's probably one of the biggest words that we've embraced in this whole thing. God longs to bring freedom to this house. That can look like a million things. Freedom is not having cancer. Freedom is not having depression. Freedom is actually dancing and worshiping the Lord in the way that you visualize, or you do it in the privacy of your home, but doing it to edify the body and provoking worship. It's a weapon. Worship is a weapon in and of itself, because as you enter in and as you have to deal with warfare, as you begin to praise and get that awareness of who Almighty God is, and you just worship Him and, God, this is who You are and this is who You have been to me, and you revisit old battles, the enemy just begins to flee and the atmosphere begins to shift, because it has to recognize the power of God. We are the righteousness of Christ. Righteousness is the quality or state of being righteous. Righteousness is not something we can earn, but something we receive in Christ. Galatians 2, 19 through 21 talks about this. I'm going to skip to 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. You can labor all you want and miss the mercy of God. And it is necessary to work for the Lord. But let me tell you something. When you have an encounter with the Lord, it changes everything. You naturally get up and work because you can't hold in. One of my heroes is here tonight. I know you're going to kill me, Amber, but you have to stand up. Please just stand up. This is a testimony to the mercy of God. This is a testimony to the grace of God. My cousin has a testimony that would blow you out of the water, but let me tell you something. She doesn't sit still. She shakes hell. On Saturday, she goes up and she picks up paroled people that just have walked out on the streets, homeless people. She brings them into the house of God. She feeds them. She clothes them. She's a Proverbs woman. It's a testimony of the faithfulness. It's a testimony of an encounter with God. It's just time to wake up to what God has done for you. You know, I was actually at Pastor Kevin's church a couple weeks ago. All of us went. They were holding a revival there, and what a time. That was just an absolute powerful time. And it literally went like Tuesday night, the glory of God just filled the place. Wednesday night, Prophet Phil Rich was here, and just, it was insane. And one thing that I struggle with is even just being up here or being up here or being up here. But as he was praying for me, I mean, I just went like headlong into the floor. I mean, just poof, and the power of God hit me. And one thing I heard, and I'll never forget it, was the Lord said, Natalie, you will resist me no more. And I can't. You know, regardless of how comfortable or uncomfortable it is, I just so cherish the voice of God and where we're going and the things that the Lord has called us to and the season that we're in. It's really time to put things in order under the authority of Jesus, whether it's sickness, mental torment, poverty, unforgiveness. We've got to put things under the proper order of God, and so nothing is elevated above Him. I one time heard it said, that if you will place everything under Jesus, when the oil of glory is poured out, it'll go from the head in line all the way to the toes. Anyone that's in line with that? And it's the absolute truth. Pastor Kevin, will you come up and just start playing? And Pastor, if there's any pastors in here, Sister Hebert, just come up. We're going to begin to have a time of prayer, and I need help.
When we were praying over the service, we were praying over the altar time. And God placed something on our hearts, and it was this. It was freedom, and it was release.
Yeah.
We need to be able to walk in the kingdom. We need to be able to walk where God directs us. We need to have the power of the kingdom behind us, in us, and through us,
right,
to be able to witness. When this started, God said, I'm going to pour out my heart on my people.
Right.
And we wanted to start this class to help equip the church.
Right.
We wanted, it's not us. It's the body of Christ that witnesses, that saves souls, that sees deliverance, that casts out demons in His name and they have to leave. And so, what I want tonight is...